Blog Talk Radio.
That sound means we are back for another crazy week on your most favorite podcast gameplay. We are live here for you guys every Wednesday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It feels good to be back. We got a great week of football to get into. Weekend, actually, we're getting 2 days, Saturday and Sunday again. But playoffs are here, playoffs are now. We got a lot to get into. We are excited. We are going to dive deep into each of these games this week for you guys. We are going to be giving you guys our analysis of the games, and we are going to be picking out our favorites for the weekend. But we are so happy to be back. You know, I got my boys with me. They're here with me every weekend. Big D, Big Mark, they're here live. Wednesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Marv is, Dwayne is always on time. It's Marv who is always late, but we got him here. How you doing?
He's late again?
He ain't here. He ain't here.
Oh, man, I just hit him. I was like, hey, my check.
Oh, here. Yeah, I'm good. I'm chilling.
Something is always going on with him. You know, we can't get it right. We can't get it right.
Right.
Here he comes, strolling in. Big Marv, there you are. You're here.
Hey, I'm in the game to win. Peace to everybody enjoying the season. We in the playoffs.
We are definitely in the playoffs. It was a crazy weekend. A lot of things happened. Last weekend. So we'll get into it a little bit. I want to spend most of our time talking about the games upcoming, but let's talk about the elephant in the room and what the Browns did to Pittsburgh. Guys, you know how we are. We jump right into the nitty-gritty, this juicy, this spicy. So, Dwayne, I have to know. I really have to know. Now, we had the Browns covering, but did you think that they was going to beat on the Steelers the way they did in that football game?
Is that a real question? No one in America thought they were going to whoop them early like that. Like, everybody was on the edge of their seat, like, what is going on? Like, I'm like, what is 20-some points in the first quarter? Bro? That's unheard of. But again, Marv, credit to the man. He said they were falling. We didn't believe it, but he did say they were falling. And he called it on the Redskins game. He said, let this be the game to show y'all they're going to be caught slipping. So they kept falling. Big Ben doesn't look real good right now. I mean, it took him a second. It's like he became Big Ben later. But in the beginning, he looked terrible. Brown's defense was swarming. They were all over him. They had his number. He settled in. He did what he does, and he almost brought their butts back. So let's even look at that aspect of the thing. But like you said, the question is, did I see that coming? I was like, no, sir, no, sirree.
All right, how about you, Marv? I mean, cause you were touching on, you know, the Steelers all season. So did you see them losing this game, though?
To be honest, I did see them losing this game. This was the game that I was the most sure about out of all of the games that whole playoff wild card round. You just got basically a tale of two cities. You got one team that was trending as high as a team is trending this year, and you got another team that was trending down as low as a team can trend. You know, a fall from grace, if you want to say. I don't know what was going through Marquise Pouncey's head. I'm still wondering if he threw the game. I'm still wondering if somebody gave him a garbage bag full of money. Or something, because You know, you're a Pro Bowl center. How many snaps have you snapped in your career? Just to throw it over Big Ben's head for a touchdown to start the game? That's rookie mistakes.
Yeah, you can't call it nerves. That's for sure.
He's seasoned.
You've been in the game for a long time. This boy has been playing in the NFL for a long time. I just cannot imagine. I don't know. Maybe he did just, make a mistake. It could, honest mistake. Or he could have been point shaving.
I guess I guess we will never know. I was definitely shocked at that game. Although, I did have Cleveland covering. I didn't think that this was going to be a necessary, a blowout. It seemed like Cleveland couldn't do really nothing in the second half, but they were up by so much it really didn't matter. It was interesting to watch that game. That's definitely not the game that that I thought it was going to be. And also touching on another game, because I don't want to get too much into the past because we have a lot to get into about these future games coming up. But, the Rams beating the Seahawks. Now, the Rams defense is very disruptive when they're on point. And so I'm not totally shocked that Russell Wilson couldn't really get going. But, I definitely didn't think that, the Seahawks, I just wanted Russell to get something, I think I was more rooting for him than for the actual game. But I was surprised to see the Rams come out on top in that game as well. Marv, what are your thoughts?
I got to be honest, man. This is the one I think you guys hit the nail on the head weeks ago with. I was still believing this, y'all. I thought that they got Carson back. They were going to get their run game back. They were going to click in the playoffs. I didn't see the collapse coming. I really thought they were going to win that game. Vegas thought they were going to win too, but I didn't blame that. I just don't understand it. I just don't see how they fell from grace. They're almost like the same story as the Pittsburgh Steelers in a way, but they just didn't have a perfect season to make it that much more embarrassing. But I don't know what happened with the offensive line play as it came down the stretch for the Seahawks. That's basically the reason why they'll never really get over the hump until they solve that problem. They get some more talent on the offensive line. But I thought Russ was gonna find a way. I really did.
How about you, D?
Towards the end, let me put it this way. I was the one yelling the entire season, Russ and the rest of them. And it's still Russ and the rest of them. He had no O-line. They came after him. He was running for his life. And when you're running for your life, you can't make all the great throws, all the throws on time, and you can't win ball games doing that. You're going to get sacked, which he got sacked a whole lot. He got hurried a whole lot, and his defense failed him. But we got to look at this. Did Russell Wilson lose the game, or did the Rams win the game? The Rams won the game, and it was by defense. They have They have the best back end in football. They got a great linebacking core, and they had Aaron Donald wreaking havoc. Jared Goff was trash. It was all defense. He's never good.
But the Rams.
He's never good.
But the Rams, in your words, played better away. In your words, the Rams play better on their away games, and both of these, this one and the next one, are both away games. So just to piggyback off of you, I don't want you to get too much into it, but is Green Bay in trouble? Because the Rams have a tendency to play very well when they're not at home. And Green Bay's going to be at home, and they are that number one spot. But are they in trouble if the Rams' defense is playing lights out? That is a question that I want you to think about, because that's a question that we're going to revisit when we start talking about these games.
Definitely.
For the next week. Cause, it's going to be – it's going to be a problem.
But real quickly, the last thing I wanted to get into before we start, hold on a second. Before we start into on the other games was the Titans game. This is what's so frustrating. This is shows like who they really are, you know, especially if they cannot get Derrick Henry, open field breaks, running the ball effectively. I expected this to be a better game than what it was. I'm not necessarily surprised that the Ravens won, but I am surprised at how poor the Titans played. I wasn't impressed, with their play calling. And their last couple of games, and, a couple of coaching errors in that game, going for it on fourth down when you absolutely should not be going for it on fourth down, taking those risks early when it's unnecessary, and then you're giving them great field position to just, run down the field. And, your defense obviously is not playing, lights out. So I feel like that was, not only the player's fault, but I felt like a lot of that loss came from the coaching, there. I don't know. What do you think? Dwayne, you could take this one.
I would say we all knew it. We were betting on the Titans too much because they were winning games. But we didn't really see what we should have seen. They're only as good as, I would say, Henry would go. And when you look at this whole scenario, Derrick Henry was tired. He put up 2,000 rushing yards. And when you put up that type of number, you've run the ball 300 plus times. Your body is worn. Your energy is low. So he couldn't give them any more. They were so worried about getting him 2,000 yards, they forgot about winning a championship. What's more important, you getting 2,000 yards and being a history-making person or getting a championship? We just saw what happened. You got your history in making. Your name is all engraved in history, and we're out the playoffs. Because without him going and getting play action, Tannehill is nothing. Tannehill needs the play action. They need to stack the box so he can throw it over the top. They didn't need to stack the box. They spread out their defense, and they just picked them apart. Gave them no openings, crushed the middle. They didn't even need to stack the box on Henry. He had no juice. He couldn't even break through to the second level. It was horrible to watch. The Titans are who we thought they were. Tannehill is who we thought they were. And the fact that they paid him, I know they're like, yeah, you're going to win us some ball games, but that shows you he'll never win you a championship. He doesn't have enough to win without his running game working. That's where you see the greats come in, the Breezes, the Rodgers, your man Tom Brady, Patty Mahomes, those kind of guys get it going. Even Lamar Jackson, if his running game ain't working for his running back, guess who's taking it on? He is. And guess who did it for them? He did. To add that to the fire. So Tannehill's no good. He's not a franchise quarterback, and Derrick Henry went for a record instead of going for the championship. That's my last word on that one.
Well, that was very thorough. We appreciate your thoroughness and your observations there. I agree with you 100%. I feel like he was worn out. I feel like he was tired. I feel like he couldn't get in rhythm. And like I said, the coaching made some questionable plays that, kind of made it harder for them to kind of really get into a groove of things. He was trying to give them an opportunity to prove themselves. And then Derrick Henry was not getting the ball when he should have gotten the ball. I felt like their whole game plan was off, but it's hard to say. Do you have any extra thoughts on that, Mark?
Yeah, my thoughts on the game are there was a huge void without Corey Davis on that Titans offense. I think when you really look at talent at the wide receiver spot, he really is the beginning and end as far as what they have as talent on the wide receiver spot. Now, I know the other kid, the number 11, the big kid, is a specimen of an athlete. But his route running was still to be desired, leaving much to be desired. You know, they had the other guy, the number 14. I can't remember his name either, but he ran that route and he slipped. And Tannehill ended up throwing that pick. You know, I was really quick to want to throw this whole game on Tannehill's shoulders, like he really can't win a game with his arm when they need him to, and blame it on him. But I think that there's a weakness on that Titans offense, and it's that receiver. They either need to get a better receiver coach, or perhaps maybe find some more young talent in the draft, because they're not going anywhere. They can't support Henry with a good passing game. And I don't really blame him. He's a freak of nature, so I think he could have got 2,000 in the season and still make a playoff run. I give him a benefit of the doubt. We know he's good. Tannehill, I've been real critical of him for a while, but I think I kind of want to give him a pass on this one. I don't know if this one was all on him like it almost looks like. I think it's on the coaching staff and their front office to get this together.
Yeah. Well, I guess they'll be sitting out just one more year trying to figure out what they're going to do, because they have to move on from something. You know what I'm saying? Is it Tannehill? Do you think they bring him back next year?
Maybe not. I don't know. They could make a deal for Carson Wentz. I don't know if Carson Wentz is the answer to all your prayers. But sometimes, you know, you got to take advantage of the coaching controversies that exist in the game. You know, or maybe they make a trade for Hurts. I doubt if they give up Hurts. But, there's definitely controversy in the game, so something's going on.
Yeah. They might be in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, man.
Yeah, that could be.
First of all, we have already called dibs on that trade. I saw eyeballing them and looking for cards to play. Listen, don't worry what we got in our bag. Just know our bag is full, okay? We had a rough season. We ain't going to be losers again next year. I'm going to tell you that right now. Bill will not stand for it. Especially how well Brady has done without him. He will not stand for this. He had a little bit of an excuse this year because half the defense opted out. And you know he is a defensive-minded coach. And so, obviously, also, you can tell that our defense was trash this year, you know, on top of our offense being trash. So, I mean, I'm not making any excuses. A loss is a loss. We had a losing season. But I really highly doubt that with the developments in COVID-19 and the safety measures that they're getting better at, you know, taking, like, obviously next year's season is going to be totally different than this year's season. I'm assuming next year's season starts on time, and I'm sure by that time they've gotten more comfortable with the situation and how they're going to have to play, you know, with COVID. I don't see all the players opting out next year, or else you ain't getting no check. You know, it's not going to be like you can opt out if you don't feel safe. It's okay, you're not playing football anymore. You know, I think they gave them 1 year because nobody knew what was going on, but I don't think that they're going to offer them that same option next year. It's either like you're not playing football or you are playing football. It's going to be one or the other. It's going to be a risk that you are going to be willing to take. And you're going to have to follow instruction, and you're going to have to willing to be away from your family. And these are all sacrifices that you're going to have to make in order to play in the NFL. And I think that the option to opt out is not going to be available to players next year. That's just in my personal opinion, but I don't think it can happen. Not 2 years in a row.
Concur.
I can't wait to see what Belichick does in the draft. This is going to be education and how to work the draft. I can't wait, because he might end up with two of the top receivers out of college this year.
And that's what we need. He really needs his defense to come back, and he needs some freaking people that can catch the ball. Like, honestly, like,
yeah.
He just really needs some people that can actually catch the ball. So it's going to be interesting to see. Okay, so, guys, let's start jumping into the games right now because, you know, we always run out of time, and we're already running out of time, and I want to make sure we get good conversations on each of the games for our listeners so they also know where we stand, and then I want to pick the winners. So let's start off with the game that we already really kind of talked about, the Rams and the Packers. Now, obviously, we know the Rams are no match for the Packers, but their record precedes them. You know, they're a 10-16. They're playing a 13-3 team. Their defense plays very well on the road. And when Aaron Rodgers is disruptive and he cannot do what he needs to do, he tends to get a little, you know, discombobulated. He doesn't get as discombobulated as Brady, but I would say that he does not like to be touched. He does not like blitzes and those type of things, the things that the Rams do. So do the Packers fall into trouble with the Rams coming in their home field to play this game on, I think this game is Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. Saturday afternoon game. So are the Packers in trouble in Lambeau Field? Anyway.
No, they're not in trouble, but they definitely better keep their bring their A game. You know, they could definitely lose a game. I'm not sold on the Packers, but at the same time, they got the best quarterback out of on the field for the game, and in crunch time, they're going to have every shot at getting themselves back in the game if they're not in the game. I don't know how well Goff is going to be because he's coming off that injured hand. But we'll see. I mean, we got a lot of stuff going on. The Packers are definitely going to have their work cut out.
I'm nervous about that. And, I hate high spreads. Right now, I believe they're sitting at 7, which is, a touchdown. And, the Green Bay don't like to cover. Green Bay likes to beat you in the last second or overtime, with a last-minute score. They don't like to cover their spread. But what are your thoughts, Steve? Where are you at on this game? Because this game, I'm touch and go. I like Green Bay to outright win, but I'm not necessarily sure they're covering this game.
Cover, I'm not even going to look into that until, after the show. But I'm going to tell you this. They better get creative on getting Davante Adams open because he's got two mean corners on either side of the ball. And if they can take Davante Adams out of this game, the Packers are in trouble. That's all Aaron Rodgers looks for. That's all the ball goes to most of the game. He'll have to start relying on a tight end. And some Lazard and some Scatling Jr., but they're not that good. So if they can get Davante Adams covered up, they keep him manned up and double covered, they're going to be in trouble because Rodgers is going to have nowhere to go. Aaron Donald's going to be in his face all day, and it can be a close game for that factor. Other than that, hopefully – Goff and company can run the ball somewhat decently, get some good play, get some field goals in there, keep it close. I don't see them scoring too many touchdowns on the Packers defense to keep up. It might be close for the defensive struggle, but they'd have to stop Davante Adams. Like, you're going to have to move him around. You have to bubble screen him. You're going to have to motion him back and forth 6 times before you call hike. You're going to have to do something because they mean on both sides. So I just don't see it being an easy win, but I just think the Green Bay Packers and their offensive staff are going to find a way to get the ball in their stars' hands, get it out of Rodgers' hands quickly, utilize that tight end and those other guys with quick passes, bubble screens, and things of that nature, slants. So I think they'll be okay, but it's not going to be an easy battle. And we got to check the temperature. If it's cold, it's over for L.A.
Yeah, that's true.
They beat boys.
But
they're
tight end. Green Bay's tight end. What is his name? Robert Tonyan. He's been active. You know, I've seen him, you know, make a little noise towards the end of
the season.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. He's not Kelce though. You can't rely on him like that.
Nah.
He's decent, but he's not Kelce.
I said he made a little noise. I didn't say he shook the stadium.
Hey, that's what I mean. You can't rely on him like that. The boy ain't that good
yet. No, you're right about that. So, but who are you picking outright win? Who are you picking to come out of this game?
Man, because I can't trust Goff, I'm gonna go with the gun show, man. Aaron Rodgers, man. This is his year. I'm already calling Green Bay and Kansas City. That's the game they want to see. That's the game everyone.
This is the Green Bay is the number one scoring offense, and the Rams are the number one scoring defense. So, is the Rams getting a defensive touchdown a lock for this game? Are they going to get it against Aaron Rodgers? Can they force a fumble or a pick six and return for a touchdown?
It's
going to be a sack fumble.
Yeah, I see that happen. I see them just hitting him, and then he loses the ball because sometimes Aaron Rodgers doesn't give up plays, and that's when he does that dumb stuff. So I see him like, oh, no, no one's open, but I got to extend the play. Oh, no.
Hey, you want to sucker bet?
Did you have to say it like that, though?
The sucker bet for this game is the over 45.5 points.
It is.
Yeah, it's
tricky.
Nope.
Tricky.
That's the sucker bet because you got final possession teams.
It could be like 20-13, something like that.
Yeah. All day.
10-7.
And I just looked up the weather. There's
right.
No chance of snow. It's just gonna be cold.
How cold?
Cold is cold.
Yeah, it'd be like 30 degrees. 34 is the high.
That's good football weather.
That's not cold enough.
I think my blood has thickened since I moved out here. That's just a 34 is a nice day.
That's what I'm saying. That's football weather. They're gonna be all right.
Boy,
that's a good day.
You need that to be like 23 and slushy and snowy for it to really make a factor, or if it gets windy or something. Because you know that could be an issue. But it's gonna be. I don't think there's no snow on the ground right now, is it? I haven't been in the Midwest in a while.
No, definitely not. Okay, moving on, guys, because you know we get a little sidetracked here. Okay, next game, Ravens-Bills. So, you know, we got our boy Lamar against, you know, Josh Allen, who is playing unbelievable. The Bills are home. Ravens are coming inside. I think the Ravens are favored, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So you take this one first, D. Where do we stand here? Where do we stand? What is this game looking like? What is the matchup? Because you know, the Bills obviously should be the favorite, but the Ravens, you know, they got Lamar, so they're always like one step ahead. But it depends on what Lamar you get. What Lamar is playing this week? Is he going to show up and show out? Does he want that matchup against, Rari one more time? Because this is it. This would be the way that he would get a rematch, up against him and be able to prove that he is on the same level. I'm not going to say he's better, but this would be his opportunity. And you know, it is very hard to beat a team twice, you know, in a season. It's very, very hard. So do the Ravens pull through and do they take a step over the Bills this week?
You know, I do have them picked in one of my little pick 'em things. I do have them picked just because the Bills' defense is good, but they just haven't fully stepped up on teams that can actually produce a run game and a pass game. But I think it's going to be a good game that's going to be close. Only because, again, Josh Allen got a deep threat. He's got Beasley coming across the middle. He's got Knox coming across the middle. And he's got Singletary running, and he can run. So there's a lot of weapons on the offensive side that can give the Baltimore Ravens trouble, who have lackluster linebackers right now. So I still see it being a close game with the Ravens pulling it out, but it will not be an easy win for them.
I see. All right, Mar, where are you at?
Man, I got to say, this is out of all the games, I think this is the hardest one to call. But if the Buffalo offense shows up in its full capacity and puts up 40 points, they're going to win the game. Because Lamar ain't putting up 40 points.
That is very
However,
true.
The Ravens got the defense to shut the Bills down on a good day. They could put the pressure on them. They could shut the run down to a minimum. They could, you know, force Diggs to beat them. It could be that kind of defensive matchup. I think the Ravens might come in there with their defense and get this one. Even though my heart is with the Bills, I want to see the Bills shine for some reason. I just like the team. But I think the Ravens are legit scary, man. I think they're ready to play. I picked against them last week, and I don't think I'm going to do it again.
Told you.
Well, we're going to find out. That's going to be a very interesting game. I'm going to tell you guys right now, you guys know that I have, you know, done a few things, seen a few things, been around a few things, but it's just hard to say. You know, my dad's a Ravens fan. He might kick me out if I go for Buffalo. So, you know, I don't really know if I could do that. But right now, you know, I like the Bills too. I'm not gonna lie. I really do like the Bills. I like them. It's little minus 1.5. I just feel like the Bills want it. I feel like the Bills been disrespected for so long. They've gotten there, and they've lost. This is the opportunity, you know, for them to win. And I feel like them beating the Ravens will give them the confidence they need to beat the Chiefs. Because I'm still not sold on the Chiefs. I know that.
Wow.
I'm still not sold on the Chiefs. I'm not. Like, you know, I'm not a New York fan either. You know, I hate the Jets. I hate the Giants. But I'm neutral to the Bills. But what I'm saying is, I feel like by them beating the Ravens, they'll have more confidence. Now, either way, they've got to beat the Ravens to get into this game. But, you know, as I was saying, just as the Ravens need to beat the Bills to get their rematch against, you know, Patrick Mahomes, I feel like the Bills are the same way. I feel like they need to beat somebody of some substance to have confidence going into that Chiefs game. You know what I mean? Because I feel like without that, you know, they're just doing what they've always done. They get there and they don't make it, you know. So I feel like this is an opportunity for them to show that they are, you know, something to be talked about this season. So I'm interested to see. I like the Bills. I like the Bills minus 1.5 at home. I'm hoping they're going to show up. But, you know, this is going to be a close game. You guys are right. This is going to be a close game. It is going to come down to whoever has the ball last, because Josh Allen may not be Lamar Jackson, but he is making plays in clutch up, you know, in clutch moments that are turning some games around for them. So, this should be an exciting game, and this is definitely going to be an exciting game. It's the night game, so I'm excited about that, because this is going to be a way more exciting game than the Rams and Packers. So I'm excited that this game is at night. So it should be good, guys. It should be really good. And we should all be able to watch every single game. So when we come back next week for championship week, we should definitely know where these teams stand. So moving on to Sunday, the Browns and the Chiefs. So Kareem Hunt is online talking a little trash. You know, we like the trash talkers. And, you know, he said he's coming for revenge. Do the Browns upset the Chiefs?
Let's get it, baby.
You know, this
revenge.
I like that. They did let him go. They did keep up on the kid.
The Chiefs.
Man, that would be sweet revenge to knock him out at 14-1. Ooh.
Yeah, that'd be it right there. That'd be it, man. Just come back if you gave up on me.
The Browns could definitely do this. I don't know if y'all were thinking the way I'm.
They're a 10-point underdog. They didn't even give them no respect after beating.
Where were they at with the Steelers though? Where were they at with the Steelers before they put
they
up 27 points in the first quarter? Exactly.
Exactly.
So they've been underdogs their entire life. They ready for this. Now, can they give Kansas City some trouble? They can. Garrett and company is coming for Patty Mahomes, and he can get in the face and disrupt a lot of his action. But the fact that he has so many weapons, it's so hard to put a stop to him. You can disrupt, but stop him, it's hard. You got Kelsey. You got Bell back there. You got Sinclair back there. You got Tyreek Hill. I mean, like, there's just too many weapons. All Hardman. I mean, man, there's too many weapons. There's too many weapons to stop them. Now, the problem that I see with Kansas City that I'm going to say is not their offense. Their offense is hard to stop and put to a halt. It's their defense letting too many plays happen because the Browns also have weapons. They got two, Njoku, and they got Hooper. They got their Hunt, and then they got Chubb. They got Jarvis Landry. They have a great squad. Baker Mayfield is coming for everybody that talk rack about him. He's coming for revenge for everybody trying to say he ain't a quarterback, shouldn't have been the first-round pick. He's coming for them and showing that he's ready to ball. So I see them potentially upsetting, but I just say that with the end of the Browns game, when Ben really settled in, he started torching them. He started lighting them up quick, fast, in a hurry. And Mahomes is better than Big Ben. So I can see him slicing up the D and keeping it to where they can win the last second. That's where I'm going to go with it. Last second win, but it's going to be a real good game. Browns are going to cover that spread. They're not going to get lights out blasted like that, but it ain't going to be like they did Pittsburgh. They're not going to come out to a 20-point lead and start going. It's going to be back and forth, though, for sure. That other game was a fluke. I'm sorry. I've never seen anything, especially from the Steelers, like that. I'm sorry.
Well, no way.
They're going to have to earn it this week.
Anything like that.
Yeah. Yep. So I just see them still winning, but I'm not clearly sold. The only reason why people aren't clearly sold is because they're not blowing people out. They have to win by double digits, but I don't think so. Everybody in the NFL is a professional. And this whole idea that teams got to blow people out by double digits, like everybody's sitting on the sidelines not playing and scheming, what they get paid to do. They get paid to scheme and find your weaknesses. They get paid to find out how to slow you down. They may not stop you, but they can find ways to slow you down. And the weakness of the Chiefs this year is their defense, as it usually is anyway. The Achilles heel is their defense. In the middle, their back end is okay. Up front, they got one good baller, and then that's about it. They don't have too much going on. Can they stop the bludgeoning run of two healthy backs, especially one with a huge chip on his shoulder to kill everything in his face? Going to want to watch this with all the popcorn, for sure.
It's definitely going to be a good one. And I want to see, you know, I mean, with the Browns, you know, coming off this unbelievable win, and then, you know, the Steelers not giving them any credit. You know, I think Claypool said, you know, they may have beat us, but they're about to get clapped next weekend, so it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, it makes me think that he really didn't have faith in himself as well, you know, that they were going to win. You know, next week either, if they were playing the Chiefs. But I think it would have been reversed. I think maybe the Ravens would have been playing the Chiefs and the Bills would have been playing the Steelers. I'm not sure how that would have worked out. But I don't know. I feel like I want to take that Cleveland plus 10. I don't know.
I got a buddy that's all ready to go up to. I think he already went up to Vegas this week to drop $1,000 on that money line.
Oh, my gosh. For the Browns?
Yes. He's from Cleveland, so.
Oh,
yeah,
God,
he's from Cleveland, so he's drinking the brown Kool-Aid.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to have to see. That's definitely going to be an exciting game. That is the afternoon game on Sunday, 3:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Very early for you, 1 o'clock, so your football is over. At least get comfortable. You got to go early to get everything watching. So the final, the big game on Sunday night, Buccaneers versus the Saints. This is the game that is unknown for me. This is a game that I'm going to fourth quarter Brady did it again, or if this Saints team just good. It's so hard to decide because Tampa Bay's defense is trash. I mean, when we say trash, we're not talking about they're not talented. Obviously, NFL, you have to be talented. So we're not talking that they're not talented, but what we are referring to is on the skill level that they should be in the NFL, they are not. You know, their defense is not good. And are they able to stop Drew Brees in that? You know, can they do it? I just don't know. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I just want to get mine in and get out the way. But basically, we got my Super Bowl pick, the Saints, versus the sexy Super Bowl pick, Tampa Bay. Saints have already beaten Tampa Bay twice. Very hard to beat a good team three times. Almost impossible. Antonio Brown is a part of the show now. It looks like they're walking in with the cover loaded. Everything in my mind is pointing to Tampa Bay. But it's something about that defense. There's something about that defense in New Orleans. And I don't know, man. This is the hardest. This is the hardest thing to go against my bet.
This is the hardest
thing.
Lattimore, man. The something you're thinking about is Lattimore shutting down Evans every time the kid steps on the field. He is gone. He shuts him down. He is not even getting balls. He'll make a catch for 10 yards and then he's dosed. And he's banged up. So he's banged up. Lattimore is already going to take him out. And then they got, like you said,
the game now.
Yeah. So the caveat right now is, can Antonio Brown pick up the slack where Lattimore taking Evans out of the game is necessary? Because if you can get Antonio Brown and you can get Gronkowski, and hopefully you can get Fournette going, you'll be okay. Because Lattimore is going to stay on Evans all day, so that's fine. If Lattimore's gone once he's on Evans, they can follow Jimmy Evans all day if they need to. That's a decoy for them. That might be the trick the Bucks need, is him to worry about Evans, and Evans ain't healthy, and Brown come in sneaking, snatching and sneaking. Gronkowski down the middle, snatching and sneaking. That's what's going to need to happen. And hopefully Fournette can get his legs under him and get running. Because if he does not, they're in big trouble. It's going to be a close battle. Brees and company are going to come for them, and they have no answer for Kamara. They have no answer for him. None. Their defense ain't doing nothing. He's going to be in bubble screens, running up the middle. He's going to be in screens. He's going to flank out. He's going to go upfield. Kamara's going to be everywhere, man. That's the one I'm worried about. Yes, Thomas is going to get his catches and stuff like that. And Sanders is going to get his catches. But and Cooks. Yeah, too many weapons, too. I just named so many. It's a wrap, man. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
They got the Bucs number, man. They got the Bucs number, bro. And the front be wreaking havoc on Brady, Brett. They ain't blocking the front either. So, I'm done.
Brady doesn't do good when they start getting to him. He gets all discombobulated. He starts shaking in his boots, and then nobody knows what's going on. So my problem is, if Brady is not comfortable behind the pocket, then he is not going to be at his best game. And those are the games that he always loses, is when that defense is able to get to him and shake him up a little bit, because then he starts playing scared. He's not accurate. And it's not like he's playing with New England, where he's played with these receivers for 100 million years and he knows where you're going to be, what you're going to do. You know, although they do look like they're gelling, he still is learning these receivers. So that's why you see a couple times he's overthrowing his receivers or he's missing somebody, and they're like, oh, that's his age. No, it's not necessarily his age. It's just that he's not used to the speed of these receivers, and he's had more weapons than he's probably had in about 5 or 6 years on Tampa Bay. So he is having to learn each individual receiver differently, and then getting accustomed to where he's going to be. You know, he has a set of skill that has already prepared him to be great. But, you know, they're still learning each other. They're not 100% perfect. So if he's rattled in the pocket and he's trying to rush a pass off, he's more likely to miss that pass, because he does not know those receivers the same way that he, as if he has been in a program for over 20 years. So I have a feeling that if Saints defense shows up, the Saints are definitely going to win this game. But if, you know, Brady is able to be Brady, to be who he is, then I don't know. I like we said, it's very hard to beat a team multiple times, in one season. So I'm very interested to see. And that's another reason why I think that they made this game the night game, because this is a big game. This is a huge game.
Yeah, this is the box office game. This is a game that everybody wants to, you know, gather around the TV after the weekend and settle in. This is going to be the highest rated game on all four of them, you know, as far as viewership. Man, this is going to be a good one.
So, with that being said, who are you picking?
I'm taking the Saints. I think the Saints.
Come with the Saints, man. You're right. The only reason why I'm going to say that, Mimi, is you hit it on the head. It's his first year with the team. He's got to learn timing. He's got to learn routes. He's got to learn whose tendencies are what. They miss a lot of balls based on them doing double pick option routes. They always pick the wrong option, and they always miss on those balls. They're not on the same page yet. You can clearly see that. And when you have options and the receiver picks the wrong option to go, and then Brady's throwing it to the area where he should have been, you know they're not on the same page. They're not even looking at the same diagram. They're not dissecting film the same together. They're not on the same page. So it's going to take this year, and hopefully he comes back next year, because he's going to come back and destroy people, because he's going to have a full training camp to work with everybody. But it's just the Saints have been doing it too long. They've been here too long. They got too many weapons, and Brady, once he gets his feet moving, man, he's not good in that pocket when they take him off his spots, man. And they have a funny way of doing it.
Yeah, no, he's definitely not, and that's what I'm saying. You know, I've watched him play a lot of the games that, you know, we lost were because, you know, he was rattled in the pocket. He couldn't get his passes, and these are two people that he's played with for 20 years. So, you know, me trying to see, you know, how he's reacting or how he's going to adapt to being rattled in the pocket, I'm worried about the Saints defense. I'm not even going to lie to you. I want Brady to do great. He is, and, you know, will always be my quarterback. But, you know, so I'm not rooting for Tampa Bay, but, you know, I would like to see him, you know, go out the way he should, which is on a championship, because then I just feel like he'll always be compared to Peyton, in a sense that, you know, Peyton went out on a championship. So I feel like that's what Brady's chasing. And I feel like
this may be his opportunity in a year like this, because next year I feel like some of the teams who were okay and some of the teams who are really good this year are going to be even better next year. And when COVID is not as much of a factor in the NFL season as it's made it, because COVID, you know, made a lot of teams better than they were. You know, you're playing up against a team, somebody got COVID, now their starters are out, now this is out, now this people is out, now that people is out. So it made them look good in a season that was, you know, tainted, I guess you could say. So for me, I feel like they're not going to have such an easy route next year as what they had this year. I just feel like next year is going to be like a real season of football. I feel like this was a whole year of scrimmage games, pretty much.
Yes, sound right. Like a true Patriots fan.
I'm just saying. And he's not a Patriot. So I'm not even saying, we're not even in the playoffs. We're sitting at home with our thumbs, you know, up our butts, and we can't do anything. So I'm not even speaking as a Patriot fan, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, I just, you know, I don't feel like if COVID was not a factor, I don't know if they would be as good as they are. Like, you know, I feel like they have a lot of good receivers. They have a lot of good players. Obviously, they have Brady. But, I mean, are you convinced about anybody they played this season? Like, the Saints, the people who they did play to that were up to par, they lost to.
Yeah. But they're getting better. They're getting better, you know. Like you said, they're getting familiar with each other.
Is Mike playing, or is he going to stay healthy? You know, what is he doing? I honestly feel like if he doesn't have all of his weapons, this game is going to go sideways real quick, and this is going to turn into a... And Brady's going to be playing from behind, which means he's going to be throwing the ball the whole time, which means somebody's going to be, you know, covered. They're either going to take Antonio Brown or they're going to take Chris Godwin out of the game. And if they do that, I just don't see how Tampa Bay can come out of this with a win.
I don't know. I think he brought Antonio Brown in for this matchup. I think he knew that if he didn't have a slot receiver that he could try and get some type of a mismatch, like a third or fourth receiver with some talent. Because there's not a lot of holes in that Saints secondary. It just, I mean, Gronk's got a bad matchup. Mike Evans got a bad matchup. I mean, these other two receivers, Godwin, depending on where he lines up, like, there's just not a lot of good places to line up against this receivership. So, I think the Antonio Brown idea was to, like, I put, you know, you got to come with four good cover guys to go man against me. Somebody's going to shake open. I think that's the strategy here. I think it will work. I think it'll get him to 30 points, but I don't think it'll get him a win. I think that the Saints are going to, you know, they might score on defense. They, you know, they got an offense that really hasn't really got flexed this year. You know, I think we got a chance for the Saints to beat them three times. I think it'll happen.
Well, we're going to see. This should be very, very interesting. Okay, real quick, before we get out of here. So who's going to the Super Bowl out of the NFC? Call your Super Bowl pick right now. We're going to revisit this in a couple of weeks, but from right now, because I want to see if any of your Super Bowl picks don't make it in the championship weekend. So who is going to the Super Bowl out of the NFC and the AFC? D, you go first. Who's your two picks?
Got them Chiefs and them Packers. The game we want to see, gunslingers in the fantasy.
Unbelievable. All right, who do you got?
I'm going with Chiefs and Saints.
Chiefs and Saints. Okay. And I'm just going to be the wild card, and I'm going with the Buffalo Bills and the Tampa
what?
Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, you just trying to make something up, man. What kind of Yeah, you need to put money on that right now. We need to put some money on that shaking.
You know that. You know the odds on that's gonna be looking nice too. So that is gonna be my crazy pick. I believe in it. I think it can happen. I think some things are gonna make it easier for that to happen for me this weekend. But we're gonna have to see, you guys. You guys are gonna have to tune in next week to find out the results, to see what happens, to see where we are. D, tell the people how they can get a hold of you.
Malboja83 on Instagram and Snapchat.
He's the same every week, guys. Big Marv, tell the people how they can get a hold of you.
Oh, man, catch me at, Marvin Beatty on Facebook. Catch me at B1GMRV. On IG and at MarvL_88 on Twitter.
All right, and you guys know I'm your host, Mimi. You can find me on all my platforms at official_Mimi_C. We are here live for you every weekday, Wednesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We got the best debates, the best updates, and sometimes a little arguing going on here. But you guys, thank you for joining in. Thank you for listening to us. We will see you guys next weekend. And I'm gonna be in the messages this weekend, because these games should be a little spicy, guys.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, man.
Catch y'all next week. All of our listeners, be safe out there. COVID is still lurking around, trying to ruin lives. Everybody, be cautious and be safe, and I will see you guys next week.
All right, take it easy.
Peace.
Later.